The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the Geeks of Color. This is episode 201. I'm Samuel Kalunga, joined, as always, by the media maven, Mr. Quentin Boyd.
Show 201, don't ask no questions, just go with it.
So what have you been up to, sir?
Today, I am a changed man. Quite literally. This past week was the last week at the job I spent 10 and a half years working. I got a new job that I'm starting on Wednesday as we record this. I'm very excited about it. Everything I wanted to do as far as broadcasting and radio, I'm about to start doing. This is the turning point. There we go.
So this is a TNA pay-per-view then.
This is the TNA pay-per-view.
A turning point. Okay.
I'm going to walk into my new job like Ric Flair. Walk back out and knock on the door, and then walk back in again.
Oh, God. We'll talk about that in a minute.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that.
But that's exciting. You're gonna be on the radio like a lot now.
I am excited. I am really excited about it because that's what I wanted to do for so long. You know, and I told everybody I could think of. You know, hey, I'm gonna be a broadcaster. This is the first step. My intention right now is to be a statewide or national broadcaster within a year.
Okay, cool.
That is the goal. I intend to call a college game within 6 months. Even if it's JUCO, I will call a college game. I don't care. That's college.
You're going to be like, what's his name? Oh, the guy from Dallas that we talk about? The guy that I said sounded like you. I forgot his name.
Jean-Jacques Taylor.
There you go. You could be like, you could be our very own Jean-Jacques Taylor.
And it's so scary because you mentioned that, so I'm like, let me go listen to him and see if I do sound. And I kind of do, and I can't really say that I don't. Like, I can't say that. I can't say that you're incorrect. You're like, nah, you're right. I do. I really do.
That's awesome. So I guess we can start the show. The Avengers movie has come out. I'm not even going to ask you if you've seen it because I already know the answer to that.
I read the comic books, and I know going in that, you know, when you make a movie, you can't do everything specifically the way, you know, the source material does it. So I knew that going in. From what I've heard, because I wasn't one of those people who were like, because leading up to it, I was seeing posts on Twitter and on Facebook. If you spoil the Avengers for me, I will unfriend you, I will block you, I will report you.
I will kick your dog.
Yeah. I will kick your dog, I will set your trash can on fire, I will DDT your mom. I am not, like, dang. And I understand it, because, you know, especially if you put so much time and effort into watching all of the other, you know, movies in the Marvel Universe, if you've watched all of them, you want to see how it goes. And so you want that surprise. And I love that. You know, I think that's great. You know, you want to go in and be shocked by what you see. I look forward to it.
Right. Now, you know who didn't spend 10 years watching these movies is Richard Brody of The New Yorker.
His
Avengers Infinity War review was... I'll just read you the first couple of paragraphs here. Avengers Infinity War is a very peculiar movie. It runs for 2.5 hours and spectacular action effects, histrionics, there you go, and noises fill big screens and cavernous theater. My God, words.
would you like me to handle it? You want me to take this one?
No, I'm saying, like, this guy, like, he's not writing a poem here. It's a review. It's just like...
He's writing the Iliad of movie reviews.
Apparently. So yeah, in cavernous theaters with their colossal churning and yowling.
Yeah, I feel like you have to read this. Yet its rolling action is beside the point.
Hold on. We need a soundtrack for it. We'll piano music. Alright, here we go. Now you do your best.
Alright, excuse me. Yet his roiling action is beside the point, serving mainly to illustrate the movie's main idea, to give each one of its dozens of characters from the Marvel Cinematic Universe a few moments to shine. In the well-worn divide between plot-driven dramas and character-driven ones, Avengers Infinity War falls strangely and surprisingly into the latter category. For that matter, although there's nothing small-scale about Avengers Infinity War, it only resembles a movie. It comes off not even as a single drama, as a self-contained and internally structured narrative, but rather as a big-screen, 2.5-hour variant on a single episode in a TV series. Avengers Infinity War would make little sense in the absence of its pack of predecessors. Its characters aren't just introduced, they just show up, and their behavior is entirely defined by the template set for them in other movies. Not only does Avengers Infinity War presume that viewers have seen all the preceding films in the Marvel series, but worse, it presumes that they've thought about them afterward.
Dear God.
Then you sit back and you smoke a pipe.
Right. You're smoking the pipe already. You got the smoking jacket and everything.
You're swirling around a snifter of brandy when you...
You're hanging out in Snoke's throne room. Have you seen the Last Jedi yet?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, so you know that throne room that Snoke is hanging out in?
Yeah.
Okay, you're hanging out there.
Yeah, you're right.
And you're wearing his smoking jacket.
Exactly.
With like a martini glass, you know.
You've got your feet on an ottoman, as you... But when I saw this review, I saw it a little bit early. And while it's, you know, it's written in a style that is epic and just should be put in the Guggenheim or something like that.
Right.
I have to ask, why would you go see a movie in a franchise without seeing any part of any other movie in the franchise?
Well, here's what happened. The guy's editor was like, hey, what's this guy? Hey, Richard, I know you watch films like The Piano and other films of that ilk, but here, come watch this action movie.
I feel like they did it because, number one, they were short on deadline. They didn't have any other reviewers. They needed somebody to go see it. Secondly, they knew what was going to happen. They knew this was going to get, you know, noticed and everybody was going. But like, hey, clicks are clicks. You know, views are views, man. Sometimes in the media business, you just got to get those views. It's sad, but sometimes that's the way you do it.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at some of the other stuff he's done. He's written about Truffaut, Jean-Luc Godard, and Wes Anderson. I told you that this is the kind of movies he writes about.
And so the New Yorker decided, hey, let's send this guy. And I mean, he brings up some very good points. I mean, it, like I said, it's poetic. The way he wrote it is very poetic. But why would you write the article and say, oh, well, you won't understand this movie unless you've seen all the rest of them? Yeah, that's why everybody's seen all the rest of them for you.
If you're an aristocrat like I, you won't understand. That's basically what he's saying.
Avengers Infinity Wars favors not a full range of performance, but a style marked by the tone of the voice, the sculpting of moments through sharp diction, which is why the actors who make the strongest impression in the film are Robert Downey Jr. and Danai Gurira. Well, that's great. I mean, yes, they have very good diction, obviously, and they, you know, they can turn phrases, and they are great actors to be able to do that. He's like the only person that went specifically to, and noticed that. Yeah. Everybody else is like, who is going to die?
Right. So, like, here's his other headlines. An astounding Romanian documentary about one man's quest to change the rules of soccer. That's the review he did before Avengers. Another one, an ultra rare rom com from a lost generation of French independent film.
He is the author of Everything is Cinema: The Working Life of Jean-Luc Godard. This is not the reviewer you send to see the Avengers Infinity War. So
go ahead.
You send that man to see like The Piano or, you know, Schindler's List or something like right. that.
No, like even like. See, even Siskel and Ebert, even when they were at their snobbiest, they could still sit back and enjoy a popcorn flick.
Exactly.
But the fact that they gave Booty Call two thumbs up, still yeah, like, astounds me.
I mean, it makes more sense now when I found out, because like, at the time, I didn't know that Ebert was married to a black woman.
Okay, so she was probably like, if you give that movie a thumbs up, I'll thumb. Never mind.
Stop it, sir. Sir.
I'll just say it's something Steve Carino used to do.
Sorry. Oh, good grief.
Anyway, Richard Brody, he's not the man you want reviewing.
I've read Richard Brody's reviews. He's a very good reviewer. And again, it's not that this is a bad review in, you know, the way it's written. It's very well written. It's just, this is not the man you send to review the Avengers.
Let me see how much he's been getting dragged on Twitter. I'm sure they've been doing the draggings, but I'm pretty sure it's just like gifts and stuff, so I'm not even gonna try.
Yeah, like I've seen the draggings, and like I think he had to have known that was gonna happen. He had to have known, like, all right, this is what's gonna happen.
I'm surprised he even has a Twitter. I'm surprised he's not like, oh, I'm too good for the Twitter machine.
Why'd he turn into Bubba Ray Dudley?
I said not Twitter machine.
On the Twitter machine, playing video games.
Oh God! Yeah, so yeah, that's pretty much. It's really ridiculous when I read that. I'm like, why? Why do you? Never mind.
I feel like they were either really short on deadline. They're like, oh man, all right, we had somebody lined up to do the Avengers. Richard. Yes, Richard. Can you go see what movie is it? It's a gripping documentary about Eastern European textiles. No, it's not. It's gripping.
Does it have a scintillating soundtrack?
I mean, it's pretty scintillating. Oh, this must be a look at Brazilian coffee farms. I will do that. No, it's called Infinity War. Ah, how religion takes hold of our lives and how some people...
It's a documentary about, like, the battle between Infinity and Lexus.
No, Richard. You know what? Here, just take this ticket. We'll give you a little bit of extra. Just go see it. It comes out tomorrow.
And to his astonishment, there's a poster of, like, a big green man on the front.
I hope the screening that he got to see, because I know sometimes reviewers get their own screenings, but I hope he went to a screening where, like, there were people dressed up as Captain America and, like, a full Iron Man suit with the lights in the middle.
God. But yeah, that was just ridiculous. So yeah, thumbs down for Mr. Brody there.
Thumbs up for his other stuff, though. For, like, the movies he knows. That he did fine on those. It's just... That's not the one. That wasn't the one for you there.
Okay, so... before we move on, I do have an update from Statboy. Statboy reached out to us.
Statboy was just happy that we did a show. He was probably cussing us out. Where in the world have you been?
What's up, Statboy? Shut up. Where you been?
I've been sitting here waiting for 2 years. He probably had. Once again, if you've heard some of our older shows, you know Statboy lives better than us.
Yeah, he probably has Mr. Brody over for dinner sometimes. They could watch a screening of something.
They have veal and like.
They watch a screening of the extra long edition of like Searching for Bobby Fischer.
They get like wine that's been aged, that's been like in barrels since like 1865.
You know, Richard Brody brings over his 35mm copy of Lorenzo's Oil.
just two men in their pipes and smoking jackets just enjoying cinema. Not movies, cinema.
Okay, so here's my update.
Okay, don't forget the Statboy music.
Oh yeah, there you go. It's cue the Statboy music. There you go. Alrighty, so what he says is Oasis did have brothers who did fight frequently, and they were Liam and Noel Gallagher.
I was right. Yeah, the Gallaghers fought like all the time. That's all they did. And then they put out an album. And then they fight again.
Just like the other, the comedian Gallagher and his brother, they fight all the time as well.
Well, it's for different reasons, though.
Gallagher and Gallagher 2.
I forgot about Gallagher 2. And we actually talked about Gallagher 2 at one point.
I used to go see that. He used to. It was funny because like I watched his specials like from the early 80s. Later on, because it'd be on HBO and stuff. Mm. And then when I was like 14, I found out, holy crap, he still performs. So I went to go see one of his shows at the Will Rogers Memorial Coliseum.
Right.
And yeah, it was pretty fucking funny. As a 14-year-old, I laughed.
I was not expecting this, but.
But yeah, the fact that, that he still performs, and then he has a doppelganger, which is his own brother.
That's, how do you, like, I look back at a lot of things in life, and I wonder how we're going to explain them to people in the future. Like, I don't know where in the future we'd be talking about Gallagher and Gallagher 2, but if we did, how would you explain that to somebody? Like, all right, so there was a comedian who carried a big mallet and smashed watermelons into the crowd, and he had a doppelganger that was his brother that basically did the same thing.
Stole his gimmick.
Stole his bit, yeah. What is if you're somebody and be like, what were y'all doing back then?
What were y'all smoking?
What's wrong with y'all?
So yeah, so the Gallagher brothers, Noel and Liam. So yeah, that's the Stat Boy update for the week.
That is the Stat Boy update. Good job, Stat Boy. Welcome back. We are glad to have given you something to do in between your screenings of like the original versions of Casablanca, yeah, with the alternate ending where they turn the plane around. I know about it.
God. So, Q, have you seen the new Halloween poster?
I have. First of all, shout out to Jamie Lee Curtis, because she is just, she's on there with, like, I know she's got, like, the suburban mom get up in this poster, but, like, you can still sort of tell she's got those guns, though.
Oh, no, like, there's a new poster.
Oh, there's another one.
Yeah, it's just Michael's mask.
Okay, I saw the one where he was standing behind her.
Oh, no, not that one.
Okay.
Let me actually send it to you in the old chat here. As soon as I know how to access it again. It's been a long time since I had to use Skype.
It's been a while. We say that like we didn't do a show last week.
Yeah. Well, it's been a while since I had to use this feature here. But yeah, I'm actually glad they finally got away from the Rob Zombie era.
Yeah, I mean, it's just,
it's terrible.
It wasn't. What he was trying to do wasn't really right for that series. And really, I understand his reasonings for making remakes of, you know, like that and Hills Have Eyes and things like that. It's just, Not for me.
Yeah, I haven't seen a good Halloween movie since H2O, because it was that Resurrection, and I thought that was absolutely crap.
Now, H2O was the one with LL Cool J, and Resurrection was the one with Busta Rhymes.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. Resurrection was a terrible movie. I liked Busta Rhymes in it.
Oh, no, I hated it. I was just like,
it was a horrible movie.
And the fact that they just completely wasted an appearance by Tyra Banks.
They ended up killing her, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he hanged her. Yeah. Great.
Yeah, it's like Kelly Rowland in Freddy vs. Jason.
My God, I thought that was such a stupid death.
That was terrible. That was awful. The only, like, I don't know. So with movies like that, it's like they take the characters, and it's not even about, you know, looking at Tyra and Kelly, for instance, is that you took characters that are kind of likable, because they did that in Halloween Resurrection too. The likable characters all got killed. Like, then why do I care? I don't know. Resurrection was a terrible movie. Yes,
there's the poster if you haven't seen it.
That is a really cool poster. I like that. It's creepy, but I like that. It needs that.
And you can see, like, the age in his mask. And before anyone asked, Latex can't age, idiots.
I feel like you've been fighting that fight for a little while. Like that's something that you've been.
No, but I'm pretty sure it'll come up at some point. You guys, these mask age. Shut up. Latex can age like a normal thing.
Yeah, go watch the movie, damn it.
Yeah, like he's been carrying that damn thing around for what, 40 years?
I'm surprised he's still getting around as well as he is. The man's been kicked out of windows and thrown off the top of buildings and blown up and on fire and stabbed. That man's still getting up. That man's workout regimen must be legendary.
remember how Rolling Sheet Mask was like barely hanging on by a thread?
Speaking of Harper and Rowan, just real quick aside, I read a story that before they were the Bludgeon Brothers, Luke Harper said that dirty, ratty t-shirt that he wore as Luke Harper.
Yeah.
He said he'd been wearing those basically since he started, and he only had three.
Oh, God.
He's like, man, get you some Tide or something, bro.
When he was Big Rig Brody Lee, I think he wore it then, too.
Yeah, that's what he was saying. He said he's had basically the same three t-shirts up until they started the Bludgeon Brothers. I mean, he washed them, obviously, but there's only so much you can do over the course of 5 years.
They probably, like, stood up on their own and he just jumped into them.
Yeah, it's like he just had them hanging off a string from the ceiling. And then he just go cut the string. All right, I'm ready to go. Like,
he'll get a running head start, take a dive, and fall right into his clothes.
That's why he can do that Tobey Suicida so well.
Yeah, he can Tobey Suicida into his shirt.
Oh, man. But yeah, the Halloween poster, I do like it. I like that it shows its age. It's like, even Michael kind of looks like, oh, I'm tired of this.
Yeah, I'm so done. He actually looks like Shatner now.
He really does. Like, oh, Lord, we doing this again. I'm so tired of Lori and her shit.
If you take the Halloween off of it, it look like it'll be something that Richard Brody would watch.
That's true. That is actually true.
It's like, oh, this looks like an exceptional piece of cinematic art. I must view it.
He's like tapping tobacco into his pipe at the time. Yes, I must
experience it. The performance of Mr. Shatner.
The wind blows and it reveals it's Halloween. Never mind.
Fuck this.
I've got better things to do with my time.
Alright, so moving on. Star Trek IV gets a female director. For the first time in the history of their movies, they finally get a woman to direct one of their movies. It's great, but at the same time, like, why did it take so long?
Exactly. I mean, Star Trek was... We herald Star Trek for all of the things that it did, you know, all the risks that it took.
All the progressive things that they did.
And it's so hard to believe that this is, like... Now, is it the first movie or the first Star Trek entity that a woman's directed?
It's the first movie, because I'm pretty sure there's been female directors throughout the history of all the series.
Yeah, because I think, not Gates McFadden, but Marina Sirtis, I think she might have directed an episode. I don't know.
You know who we can ask? Who will do the research for us? It's a guy named Statboy.
Yeah, Statboy, find us the first female director in the Star Trek TV series. You're
treating him like he's Alexa. Alexa?
Hey, if Statboy just starts randomly laughing and we start hearing it, hey. I'm pretty much through with that.
There was one where, like, I saw this one online where, like, the guy was like talking about. See, I don't want to say it because it'll trigger mine. The GOOGL.
Right.
He said he was sitting at his computer one day and he just started spitting out something unintelligible. So he asked it to repeat it. So he's like, "What did you say?" And it says, "Don't worry about it."
Why did it turn into Shaq and Raw that one time? How did you get so many cues? Don't worry about it.
But yeah, no, he was like, yeah, the thing, the device said, don't worry about it.
Wow.
Turns out it was a friend of his playing a prank, because on there you can broadcast. You can, like, say, hey, repeat after me. and it'll say everything that you just told it.
That's great and terrible all at once.
And you don't even have to be in the house to do that.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, so this is great. All I know is that this is the fourth Star Trek in the Kelvin universe. I want some whales. Bring me my whales now.
Bring me my whales.
They can go back to... Well, they wouldn't... Where would they go now? I mean, because the first time they did four, they went back to 86. So what year are we in? 20... They go back to 98.
Yeah, they'll go back to... Oh, wow.
Oh, God. I hear the Oasis on the radio. Some Smashing Pumpkins.
Today is the greatest day of ever.
You know, Spock, Kurt talks Spock into going to see a screening of The Faculty.
And Spock is no! Like,
who is this Usher Raymond fellow? And why is he only in five seconds, but like he's on the poster?
He's on the poster and in the commercials. That's the Geeks with Color bringing you news about the late 90s movie The Faculty, whether you want it or not.
And he's like, this is illogical.
Yeah, we were kind of into that back then, Spock. We were kind of into that back then.
God, I really hated that movie.
It was so bad.
I was forced to see it, too, against my will. Just like I was forced to see Armageddon, and I hated that, too.
You were so angry, like, no! Don't make me do this!
And I was telling, like, people, I was like, you guys only like that movie because of that stupid song. That Aerosmith song?
Right.
Yeah.
And that was really true. A lot of people really did watch that movie for that song. I mean, I didn't think Armageddon was great. It's a good... It's a travel movie, basically. It's a movie like when you get on a bus or you know, if you're on a charter bus, you're going somewhere, you're on an airplane, you got a couple hours, you like got 2 hours to kill. There you go. It's a movie you don't have to think that hard about. It's on in the background while you do your other stuff.
Right. So, yeah. So Star Trek 4, hopefully there's whales. Or actually, what will be the big thing today? You know, because like back then it was about conserving the whale life. Global warming, maybe?
Yeah, more than likely. Global warming or nuclear war.
Spock and Kirk go back and save the Earth from global warming.
They go back and... One tree makes all the difference.
They go back and hang out with... what's his name? The former vice president.
Oh, Al Gore?
Yeah, the one who makes the global warming porn.
Yeah, Al Gore, Inconvenient Truth. Not it. They go back in time and help Al Gore invent the internet.
God. The internet is a series of ones and zeros. Or they go back even further and like stop Dan Quayle before he falls off that stage.
They stop him before he tries to spell potato.
Just as he goes to fall off the stage, like Spock like pulls him back. Saves him a little embarrassment. He removes the plank from the bottom of the wall so that like when the Shockmaster breaks through the wall, he doesn't fall over.
He doesn't fall over. He brings a trash can when George Bush threw up on the Prime Minister of Japan. Right before it happens, Spock pulls out a trash can, he's ready to go.
When George Bush pulls on that door, Spock is on the other side, pulls it open before you can go and like, you know, pull it instead of push. You remember that one?
I had forgotten about that one. Now, is it bad that I want a movie now of Star Trek with Kirk and Spock going around time traveling? Yeah. Star Trek through time. Good. I mean, look, you tried to tell me, was it Tom Hiddleston or Benedict Cumberbatch that was Khan in the new one?
Oh, it was Cumberbatch.
Yeah. If you're going to tell me that Benedict Cumberbatch is Khan, then you can tell me that Spock and Kirk went back in time to try to save the world a couple of times. I'd be fine with that.
Not even save the world, but just save world leaders from embarrassing situations.
Yeah, just helping them out. I mean, look, I have nothing against Benedict Cumberbatch. I think he's a fine actor. Ricardo Montalban is my con. And that's not to say that Benedict didn't do a good job with what he had, but Ricardo Montalban is my con.
I will avenge you.
Buried alive. I mean, that man killed Paul Winfield. Paul Winfield didn't do anything.
He didn't hurt anybody. Yeah.
He hurt anybody. I wonder if Paul Winfield ever sat around the set on City Confidential and won. Now, why'd they have to go and kill me? I was having fun in the movie.
Okay. This episode is about a murder that happens on a spaceship.
I was just minding my own business. It was a perfect star date. You know, the kind of star date where you like to go out and sit and stare at the stars. Because that's all you can do on the Enterprise.
Remember Mesh Sinclair was like a captain?
Oh, wow.
Remember that?
I remember that. Good night.
So a lot of people theorize that, like, the main character from Star Trek Discovery becomes Mesh Sinclair.
Oh, wow.
Because they said that, like, the age is about right for, like, when that would have happened.
That's crazy.
And that's a bit. Remember how we were talking the other day about headcanon? That's, like, the best example of that.
Oh, wow.
Of someone else, like, trying to drive the ship of what, you know, of the creative minds of the, that actually get to work on the, you know?
I remember.
Yeah. All right, Q. You heard of this new show called Alex Inc.?
I have seen commercials for it. I was actually, I get my TV now through Sling TV, and I saw them advertising it, and it looked like Sandra Oh was on the poster. I like her as an actress, so like I might check that out. I haven't yet, but I've heard of it.
She must be like a hidden character or something because she's not appeared on the show.
She is not. I must have got that mixed up with something. I do that from time to time.
I'm probably thinking of that other one, the Grey's Anatomy. Wasn't she on there?
Yeah, she was on Grey's Anatomy.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. So I guess the answer is really no. My bad. I got it mixed up.
You're like, no, what's that?
I should have just started there instead of just making myself.
Would it be funny if she came out later on in the late in the season as like a surprise entrant?
Yeah, like she just instead of surprise entrant, like she's in the Royal Rumble.
She's number 34 in the Royal Rumble. No, Alex Inc. is about. It's actually based on a real person. This guy named Alex Goldman, who has a podcast company called Gimlet Media, and they actually chronicled their own not really ascension, but their own like founding and everything. On a podcast called Startup. It was about them.
Right.
So, it went for a good while. Season one was about their company, Gimlet Media, and how it got started and everything. And so it was basically him just taking a recorder everywhere and just recording like the entire process. Well, it was really great. And it won some awards. Someone decided, mainly I think Zach Braff, it wasn't Zach Braff. So anyway, some genius decided this will make a great sitcom.
Oh, that show! Okay, yeah, I saw that. That was an ad on my Instagram at one point.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they showed a clip from it, and I'm like, I wouldn't watch this show for anything but the mom.
Oh, but the wife. Tia Sarkar.
Yeah. That's the only reason I would watch the show.
Yeah, she is a dynamo. I'm telling you.
But now I know. Now I know where we're at. Now we got the right ABC show.
There you go. you're like, oh, that Zach Braff show, the one where he's a doctor and he like, you know, saves people's lives with the guy from Clueless.
I wasn't that bad. Oh, it's the Zach Braff show where he's quirky and he tries very hard to be funny and it's hit and miss from time to time. Even though Zach Braff is a likable person, but he's not always funny.
No, that's his show.
Okay.
No, it's just, yeah, he pretty much plays that same character. This show is not good. I tried. I really tried. I really, really tried because I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing her name right. But she's really great to look at, and I want more episodes.
You wanted to try for her.
Yeah. But, yeah.
It's not working.
It's just so bad. There are 7 episodes in, and I think I'm out.
Hey, you did better with that than I did with the show Young Sheldon.
I didn't even try.
Like, I don't even like The Big Bang Theory, but you know, I saw it and it debut after a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, it's here. We ain't got nothing else to do. I'm not trying to go back to work just yet. So. And I got maybe 6 minutes into it, and I'm like, nope, I'm out. I haven't laughed one time in this entire show.
Yeah, that doesn't look good at all. But, no, this show's pretty bad. I really tried. It's like, you know how like a show, like we'll have a long-running show, and they'll have filler episodes? These 7 episodes were filler episodes.
Like, they haven't done one thing that...
There's been nothing to move the overall plot.
It's like, all filler.
Every now and then they'll do something to move the plot, but then the rest of it is just filler episodes. One episode was about, like, his nanny. His nanny, like, he was trying to fire the nanny, but he worded it in a way where she got confused and she thought that he wanted her to go work for him at the company.
Oh, wow.
And she became, like, his receptionist, and it was zany and wacky because she doesn't know English, and she was spilling coffee on things and blowing up the printer and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no!
Yeah, it was, I'm like... This is a filler episode, and this is episode 4 of the show. And, like, another thing that's bugging me, it's like, it's not his fault, because he's really great. Michael Imperioli is on this show.
Why?
He was Chris in The Sopranos, and every time I see him, I think of Chris of The Sopranos.
Like, why is Chris here? What is like, going on?
I think he's going to snip someone out at one point.
You might need to push the plot along.
I would welcome it at this point. He takes out Alex's competition for him. Just shoots him in the back of the head. That's great. All right. Move along. But yeah, this show is not good. The only actual thing that I do like about this is the little girl that plays his daughter. She is gold. She is amazing. Her name is Odissi James. She is great. She's going to be a star. So you need to watch out for her.
So she'll probably get something off of this because, you know, if she's starring in a vehicle with Zach Braff, so she's going to get some notice. She's going to get some shine.
It's kind of like, in a way, she's kind of like the character from Blackish, the little girl.
Uh-huh.
She's like that. She's like her.
I got you.
Because she's fucking funny. And she's always there with the snaps.
But her performance isn't enough to get you to continue with the show.
I'm done with the show. I'm taking this off of my DVR, off of my scheduled recordings.
Hey, don't you put another episode of this on my thing.
I will take it as a personal insult if AT&T puts another one on there.
I'm angry. Don't you put that on. I'm cutting everything off again.
But yeah, Michael Imperioli. He's too distracting. I just can't.
That's so weird. Like, it's so weird because, and he's a that guy where every time you see him, he's that guy that did that thing. Like, it's kind of like when Dennis Farina did, like, comedy.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, even though he was great, it's just that he finna shoot somebody. Dennis Farina is going to shoot somebody right quick, and I'm going to be here watching. I'm supposed to be laughing.
So now you understand my problem then.
Yeah.
Oh, so wow. Go ahead.
Like, every time you see him, you're thinking, okay, he's finna whack somebody. Zach Braff
is gonna die. Yeah.
Zach Braff is finna get it.
Zach Braff is gonna piss him off, steal his, like, yogurt from the company icebox, and he's gonna get, they're gonna find him in an alley somewhere.
Yeah, he's got
missing his teeth.
He's had enough. Oh, man.
I just found out T.S. Sarkar is from Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh, really?
Yep. I wonder what school she went to.
Oh, here come the deep dive.
No, I'm not gonna get into that now.
Yet.
No, because I'm pretty sure she went to Fort Worth Country Day, which is like the performing arts school.
Country Day.
She's born in 82, so she's like 2 years younger than me.
1 year older than me.
Yeah, so she was probably like either a junior or a sophomore when I was a senior.
Oh wow!
But I'm pretty sure if she's an actress, she went to Country Day.
So she wasn't going to Pascal.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, Pascal's actually come up a lot. They're like now they're like a huge academic school.
I figured really Pascal was always an academic school. They just weren't. They were never. Well, at least when I went to TCU, they were at least coming up. You know,
Pascal was basically like the feeder school to TCU.
Yeah, basically, because it's like right down the road.
Well, hey, that, and also because, like, you know, there's just a lot of young, bright minds there. But no, when I was going to school, Pascal was just like, I guess it was still academically well, but it was just like everyone I knew from there was just like a fucking idiot. a drip or something. I don't know. Just morons. Like, I don't know what happened. But yeah, she might have gone to Pascal. Who knows? But she did go to UTA. Oh, the University of Texas, Austin. She received 2 bachelor degrees, one in business marketing, the other in theater and dance. After college, she moved to Los Angeles. And of course, you know, the rest is history.
And you said there wasn't going to be a deep dive.
No, this is on her Wikipedia page.
that's still a deep dive. I didn't say you were going to start collecting pictures.
Shut up. So yeah, she was in Star Wars Rebels. Cool.
Oh, she's coming up,
right? I mean, when you're in a Star Wars thing, yeah.
Yeah, like the second you do that, you good.
But I always feel like I've seen. Oh, now I know where I've seen her. I saw her on the show Betas, which is like a low budget Silicon Valley. She was on there because it was one of those test shows that like Amazon put out to see if anybody would like it, and I guess they didn't because we never got another season of that. So yeah, she was on there. Now I know who she played. She played, because on there, there's like a character who's like closeted gay. And so right. His parents set him up with a girl, hoping that this would break him out of his whatever he's going through, according to the parents. Yeah, no. But yeah, the girl he went on the date with, that's her.
Okay.
So yeah, we learned something new today. That's great.
We have learned something new. This is where you come when you want to learn things, random things. Sometimes we'll accidentally educate you.
Right. Just like they did at Pascal, probably.
Damn. How you really feel about the Fort Worth school, Sam?
Oh, let me tell you about the school, the Fort Worth ISD.
Uh-oh. And what people say a lot to Jalen Rose on his podcast, don't get fired.
Hold on, let me. I'm trying to look up his name because I remember the guy's name.
Oh, well, it was Pascal Castleberry.
Castleberry's in Rogues.
Okay, Trimble Tech, Odie White. Mm-hmm. Western Hills,
Diamond Hill. And of course, Northside.
And Northside, yeah.
Let's see. I was trying to think of like the superintendent, because like his name would always pop up on my report card, and I want to curse him out because of that.
Yeah, he like, just
damn you, damn you to hell. Let's see here. Oh, here we go. Let's see, history of the FWISD. Again, this is great radio, I know. Let's see. I'm trying to get to the 90s. Okay, we're at 1930s. 1952. All right, 4, 48. So we jumped from 68 to 2015. How did we do that?
Between 1968. When did Sam Kalunga go to school? Nothing happened there.
Thomas Tocco. I wanted to curse out Thomas Tocco every time I saw his name on my damn report card.
Just on general principle?
Just on, well, because, like, he was, his name popped up when, you know, when I was, you know, when I got bad grades, and it was like, you're the one who did this. You're the one who put these things into the computer. And your name pops up on there. You're the guilty party.
You did this to me!
Yeah. So, yeah. So I guess I should give the show a shot, because, you know, I want, you know, my people to prosper.
You want to support your district.
Right. Yeah. If she did go to the district, I mean, if she went to Fort Worth Country Day, or even worse, Trinity Valley, then screw her.
I was going to say, I'll give you one more episode, and I can't do it. I know she wanted us, but I can't do it.
No, Trinity Valley is like where like the super rich went to school. So if she went there, then no, she can go to hell. Anyway, so we're moving on. So yeah, I don't want to watch the show anymore. It's just really bad. It's not even funny.
It's like Sam has given up on the show completely and utterly. But you gave it 7 episodes.
I gave it 7 episodes because I like the source material, but this is nothing like... It'd be better if y'all just went and listened to the actual podcast. Go listen to that, and it's way better. Q, do you remember the Choose Your Own Adventure book series?
Remember them. I had my own little shelf when I was younger that had, like, all the books I liked, and 5 of those were Choose Your Own Adventure books.
I remember as a kid, I was really vulgar, because there was one called The Lost Jewels of Nabooty. I was just like, The Lost Jewels of Your Booty, yeah.
I can only imagine how little Sam was the first time he heard that there was a country called Djibouti.
Oh, God, yeah. But then, like, when I saw how it was spelled, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not what that is.
That doesn't look like how you said that. I don't understand that. How?
It was even worse with, like, when I worked at AT&T, there was a coworker from Djibouti. And, like, I always wanted to make fun of him. Not make fun of him, but just, like, say the word. Like, hey, it's the guy from Djibouti.
Are you from Djibouti or your booty?
But, yeah, this is The Lost Jewels of Nabooti. But anyway, yeah, apparently Fox is adapting these into movies. But apparently they're going to have, like, some kind of software to, like, where people can choose the next scene through their phones or something.
I like the idea. I don't know if it should be a movie. I feel like it would work better as a TV series. Like, kind of a TV show where, you know, you tape everything in advance, obviously. Then you run it up to a certain point, and then you have people, like, log into the app and vote over the course of a week. And then next week, whichever ending gets the biggest number of votes leads to the next portion.
Right. Yeah, I just don't know how to feel about this. Because it's like, what if you get to the ending? What if, like, you're in a room full of stupid people, and you get the ending, and you get the... You choose the thing that goes to the next one, and it's like the ending because you fall into a pit and die. And then your movie experience gets cut down to, like, 20 minutes.
Well, I mean, that could happen, but I mean, with how many Choose Your Own Adventure books there were, you could easily tweak them to where you have another story ready if everybody gets dumb and votes the wrong thing. or you have it where it's kind of like a video game. Well, not like, you know, where it's easy like a video game, but basically where, okay, you have one character and they're going through this and everybody votes. Lives. Yeah. So they, like, bounce back, and they're like, whoa, I won't do that again. But then you get the idiots who would vote for it again, just to mess with them. I won't do that again. Yes, you are. When you were reading the Choose Your Own Adventure books, how many times did you cheat before you chose?
Oh, pretty much all the time.
Like, wait, let me turn to page 78. Let me turn to page 78. Nope, you have fallen. Nope, you have fallen. Nope. Next one. Another one.
You have contracted syphilis. Nope.
You have died of dysentery. No.
Have you seen that one meme? You've died of dysentery. Dysentery, that's a girl's name. And he shoots you. You've never seen that one?
I've never seen that one, no.
Yeah, you come across a guy, and it has that Oregon Trail, the font and like the type of the.
You have died of dysentery. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
He says, "Hi, what's your name?" He's like, "Terry. Terry, that's a girl's name. Terry shoots you. You have died of dysentery."
Oh, it's so terrible, but I love it anyway. It's horrible, and I love it. It's so awful.
God. So yeah. So apparently, this is going to be a thing.
Like I said, I'm not against it. I just feel like it would work better as a limited series, you know, more than a movie.
Right. All right, so Q, we're close to wrapping up. I went to see a 35mm cut of the much loved and also at the same time much ridiculed film Hackers, the 1995. Film starring that guy from the horrible American Sherlock.
That guy.
Johnny Lee Miller. There you go.
Johnny Lee. Oh my goodness. Johnny Lee Miller. He tried.
And also, I used to like it, but then I was like, this is nothing, not as good as the British one.
That was what, Elementary?
Elementary, yeah.
Yeah, I gave that. I actually did like.
You only watched it because of Lucy Liu.
Shut up! I actually did like the show. It wasn't like the greatest show, and yes, it paled in comparison to the British Sherlock. But I thought it was pretty good. You know, I had fun with it. I wasn't watching it for much else than the previously explained reason, but still.
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought it was good, but just the British one is just so much better. But I didn't hate it. It was something I'd watch. It just got to. I guess it works better as like a three show season than it does as like a 24-episode season. It just kind of dragged.
Yeah, and that's fair. That's definitely a very fair criticism of it because that's pretty much the case, you know, with shows on the BBC. Hey, it's basically a limited series. Like, they have a season, but it's not near as long as, you know, they tell one story and get out. Whereas American TV, we tell several different stories with the same main characters.
Right. Yeah, Hackers. Johnny Lee Miller, Angelina Jolie, and, like, her first. Well, she was in a movie before that, but I think this was her first feature, I think. I may be wrong. I think she did star in one thing before this. And also, Matthew Lillard was in this.
I'm sorry. Remember how we were talking about people who were just that character?
Yeah.
Matthew Lillard is Shaggy. That's all he is. And Matthew Lillard has done a great job with his career. But I'm sorry. Every time I look at him, I look at him and I see Shaggy.
See, my first experience with him was. As the I'm feeling a little woozy guy from Scream.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, it's not that those roles weren't memorable. It's just he made Shaggy his own. That's what he did. The role of Shaggy will be played forever by Casey Kasem animated and Matthew Lillard live.
Right. And don't forget, Casey Kasem also was Robin.
Casey Kasem was a lot of people.
I didn't even know he did voice work until much later.
Like, that's actually how the first time I ever really knew about Casey Kasem was like back in the 80s. I was probably like 4. And I mean, you know, he was doing that top 40 countdown and I'm hearing that voice and I'm like, why is Robin doing this? What is going on? Is this a special guest star or something?
And then Adam West comes in. Excuse me, Robin. I have to announce number 29.
it's Dune the Batusi.
No, it's that other one, Miranda.
Oh.
So would you like to see my muscles flex, Miranda?
We let that man sing. We as a people, like, we weren't even born yet when that happened, but we as a people let that happen.
Yeah, it's kind of like embedded in us, so when we're born now, we're kind of still struck given that shame.
It's like, no, this is... I wasn't even around. No, this is still your fault. You played a role in this.
Oh, God. Really? How did we get here?
There's a question we haven't asked in a while.
So, yeah, I watched this film, and it's great. Wendell Pierce is in it. Mark Anthony is in there. Let's see, who else? That kid from freaking... That kid from the West Wing, he's in it. He played Joey, the idiot hacker. Let's see. Who else was in this film? I do not... What's his name? Fisher Stevens.
Well, Fisher Stevens was in a lot in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, Lorraine Bracco was in it as well. And my favorite, Penn Jillette.
I forgot Penn was in this. You're right. It's like you don't even think about it, and then you like, oh yeah, Penn was it. Penn was, yeah, you're right. He was.
When he came on screen, like, the audience just burst out in laughter. This is my first time seeing it with the wide audience.
Right.
There were things that they find funny that I never did. I'm like, okay, well, why is that funny? I guess it's because of the ridiculousness of the scene.
Yeah, I mean, the movie was, looking at it through 2018 eyes, yes, the movie is kind of ridiculous. But at the time, that's what we thought.
It was ridiculous back then, too.
No, it was ridiculous. You're right.
I was telling Paige Turner, because she went with me, I told her, this movie is basically like an hour and a half Gadzooks ad.
Wow. Oh, man. Good night. But yes, how was the experience? You saw it on 35mm, right?
35mm inside an old single screen theater. It was basically like this old theater that they converted into like a nightclub / movie theater where they show retro movies in 35mm.
Right.
Because like they're about to show Charlie and the Chocolate Factory in 35mm.
Oh, wow.
Come up like next week, I think. But anyway, yeah, they show... Well, okay, it's in Dallas, which I didn't know about because I never go to Dallas. It's in Oak Cliff.
I'm sorry.
What?
And now we understand why, you know. It's in Oak Cliff. Nope, never mind.
See, this is the thing. Like, yeah, it was in Oak Cliff at night, in the dark.
But this was North Oak Cliff, wasn't it?
No, it was Jefferson Avenue.
Oh, wow.
Which, if you don't know, that's where all the main stuff goes down in Oak Cliff. It's like,
that's where
it's like the downtown Oak Cliff, pretty much.
Downtown Oak Cliff. I just love that Oak Cliff is basically its own entity.
Right, yeah. I remember Randy Galloway would always talk about, like, the hookers on Harry Hines Avenue.
There was no one that Galloway wouldn't dog cuss.
Right. But yeah, So we get there. First, we stopped at Burger King first. Shout out to Paige Turner putting me on to the Burger King app. That's how I was able to get a Whopper meal for $5.
Nice.
And we drove from there to Oak Cliff. And then we couldn't find a parking space, so we had to park behind one of the buildings in the dark. She was more freaked out than I was, but I was like, I've been here before. I'm like, they're not going to mess with me.
Like that, I know where to go.
Right. So then we went around, and then we went to the front of the theater. I took a picture. It's on my Instagram of the front of the theater. Really cool. And we went in, and yeah, it's pretty much nightclub / movie theater. But it's really great. It's a really nice place to go into because they got a bunch of like vintage posters and stuff from like, I guess, from when the theater was active.
Right.
And it's great. And even though it's mold, it has that old smell. You know, the old room smell?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I know what it is. It's mold, but still. It's kind of nostalgic. That building actually reminds me of the old West 7th Street Theater that was
right.
in Fort Worth.
Right.
Way back when. I don't know. You may or may not have experienced it.
I vaguely remember it.
It was like an old single screen theater that was in Fort Worth. It had been open since like the 1920s.
Right.
The last movie they played was Sleepy Hollow. So they went out with a shitty Johnny Depp movie.
It went out with a whimper.
Yeah. But I saw a lot of great movies there. I saw like Ferris Bueller's Day Off there. I saw Short Circuit. Basically, every movie that had that Pegasus at the beginning, the TriStar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every 80s movie that had that at the beginning of it, I think I saw there.
Ta-da!
Yeah, that one. Because, like, that memory stays with me. When I see movies now that have that, I'm like, oh, it's a movie I remember seeing movies like this at the 7th Street Theater. Like, the other day when I was watching About Last Night had it at the beginning. I was like, I never saw this one. With good reason.
Yeah, that's actually true. I mean, how TriStar was so big at that time. It seemed like every movie was either TriStar or Orion. Like, you obviously had your MGM, you had your Warner Brothers, but TriStar and Orion were big back then.
Yeah.
The stars circling around to make the O.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But no, yeah, so, yeah, it had that old smell. You go in, they have a bar slash snack bar.
Oh, wow.
Bar slash snack bar. And they were in the bartender... was actually dressed up like a character. Was actually dressed up like a character from the movie. It was pretty cool.
Oh, cool!
Went in. Yeah, it's an old school single screen theater, and when they rolled the 35mm, it had that film degradation.
Uh-huh.
You know, because it's old. And
right.
Like, yeah, you just you could hear that sound, that cinema sound, that whirling. That the projector does.
Right.
Yeah, and it just looked old. Like it hadn't been touched up at all. It just had that old look to it, and I loved it. Like, you know, because, like, when they do the remastering, you know, it looks different. It sounds different.
Right.
Yeah. And I loved every second of it.
It sounds like it was awesome.
Yeah, it was a great experience. And then afterward, they had, like, a cyberpunk party, which was really cool. But we didn't stay for that because we had to go. But, yeah, that was really great. If you ever get a chance to watch that movie in 35mm, you should definitely do it.
That just sounds like a cool experience at that, you know, with it being a movie theater / nightclub. That, you know, because you know about like Studio Movie Grill, where you have a place where you can go and you can eat, and you got nice chairs, you can watch a movie while you eat. I like that kind of experience. Like, it just seems really cool.
Right. And see, like, I know they have retro movies like at like Movie Tavern. But it's not 35mm, it's digital. They basically just shine a projector on like a Blu-ray or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this was an actual film reel. Alright, so before we get out of here, we're gonna tell you about this little video clip that we saw. This is a wrestling bit from, I think, 2010-2011. Let me send it up for you. Okay, so Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair have been feuding with Sting. This was in TNA Wrestling. Sting.
So you already know what you're about to get.
Right, yeah. So Sting wants the match against Hulk Hogan. You know, Hulk Hogan wasn't going to actually have a decent match. I mean, the guy was like 80 years old. So you know that wasn't going to happen. We actually did get the match, but it was really shitty.
Yeah, it was bad.
Because Hogan didn't do anything. He couldn't move.
He did a few
punches and that was it.
Yeah, his hip was just shot at that point. Everything was shot on it.
Yeah, so to set it up, Sting wants a match with Hogan, but Ric Flair and his boy was like, no, you can't have him. Like, you know what, I'll tell you what, you can have him if you can get by me. So Ric Flair is wandering around backstage. He goes in the Hulk Hogan's office. Hulk Hogan's throwing chairs and pissed. And then, like, he sees Flair, he's like yelling at him, "Flair! Flair!" Flair is like, nope, backtracks, leaves the room, closes the door.
And knocks.
And knocks. Flair, get in here. The first thing he asks him, "Are you on goofball pills or something?" And Flair is obviously just hammered.
"Hey, hey, Hulk, baby, baby, Hulk, Hulk, baby, it's okay.
He is like on another planet. And okay, so the basis of his promo is Hogan trying to deliver the promo and trying to get through the segment. Flair in his drunken state is just derailing it.
Every single time Hulk Hogan is trying to violently pull this back onto the rails, and Rick is taking like one or two words to just send it right back off.
And it's the most ridiculous Flair just like rambling and just about nothing at all and just like saying incoherent words. The best one was like Hogan says, "You don't want a problem with me, Rick." And Rick is just like, I don't.
it's like he was just like a little kid just trying to beg off to make sure he didn't get in trouble. Except he was an old man and he was just drunk off his ass.
Right. So that's
what, Hulk, baby, I love you, Hulk. I love you. Come here, I love you.
Yeah, this is like, there's a lot of quotes from here that like me and my friends just like repeated, like, "He's shaking like a rat." he's like a cat with 9 lives, but he ain't got 10. I'll take his 10th.
Oh.
I'm 1501 against thing. Maybe 1502.
Maybe 1502.
But yeah, let's just like take a listen to this, and we will see you next week for episode 202. Any shout outs real quick, Q?
Episode 202 will be next time around. Shout out to everybody listening. Shout out to the entirety of the CSPN family. Shout out to Tammy for being so, so wonderful. Shout out to Preet for making me laugh. Shout out to my boy Adam, who's turning things around. Shout out to my boy Greg. Shout out to my new friend Janine Punflower. Much love to you. Thank you so much for the fun that we've had in chat over the last couple of weeks or so. Shout out to the new job. I will let y'all know how it goes. Shout out to my new office, which is very nice. Shout out to this new studio I'm finna get.
Look at you.
I'm coming up in the world. Shout out to all the other usual suspects, and that's all I got.
Shout out to Richard Brody.
Shout out to Fred.
Yeah, shout out to Fred and Richard Brody and Classic and all the rest of the CSPN family, the WrestleCast family. Shout out to Lady Nikki, and we will see you next week, maybe, hopefully.
Sometime. Bye.
Goodbye.
Hey, how are the Hulkamania? What in the hell is wrong with you, Flair? Where have you been? Flair!
Hello?
What is wrong with you? Are you on goofball pills or something?
What are you talking about?
Get your ass in here!
You mad about what I said to Sting?
Do you understand what's going on out there?
Oh, God, where's your love?
No!
I got Sting covered! I own that little punk! I'm 1501 against him, maybe 1502. What are the chances of him beating me? Jesus, we could stop for a minute. I haven't seen you in 2 months. Where's the love? Calm down. We're the two greatest wrestlers that ever lived.
He should be dead. He shouldn't be breathing right now. Do you realize I unloaded on him with everything I had? I stood over him and I crucified him in the center of the ring. He should be dead. Do you understand?
Well, maybe he's a cat with 9 lives, but he ain't got 10. I'll take his hit. Now calm down. Jesus.
Where are we going?
I haven't seen you in 2 months.
Where are we going tonight, man?
Let me tell you.
Calm down. We'll just have a beer, talk about it. I'll bring some red wine. I'll calm you down. I own Sting. In this business, you got some guy's numbers, and some guy's numbers you don't have. I got Sting's number. You see him out there? He's shaking like a rat. Shut up, Rick.
Huh.
Oh, man. Oh,
shut up.
I can't take this.
No, listen.
No, what? Just 2 months off.
Listen.
I love you. Trust me. No, I'm going to go.
No.
I'm going. I don't.
No, come here. You can't leave.
I'm going out listen, here with a lot
do you realize?
Of I'm leaving here
no, stop.
With a lot of love for you.
Stop. Do you realize I'm done with him? You cannot.
You are done with him. I'm telling you. Do you not hear what I said? If I beat you, you're gone. California, Texas, he's gone. Nature Boy, I will kick his ass.
Well, let me tell you something.
Look at the sheep. Look at them.
Okay.
Holy shit, I'm ready to go.
Okay. You need to round up all the troops. You need to make sure he doesn't breathe another breath after tonight.
I'll circle the wagons. I'll get all the boys. I've been gone for 2 months. Give me a night out.
Let me tell you something.
I'll have Maul tonight at the bar. We'll get a plan.
Let me tell you about
the plan. I'll call you on a cell phone. Same number?
You don't want a problem with me, Rick.
No, I don't. I don't. I don't.
You don't want a problem with me.
I don't. I don't.
Because I will never wrestle that man.
I love this business. I just want to have a good time. Please. I love you.
Calm down. I love you.
I got Sting. Don't worry. Woo! Woo! Woo!